You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my very special guest is the one and only Lewis Howes. Now, undoubtedly, you know of Lewis from his just award-winning podcast that gets over 2 million downloads every month, or his New York Times best-selling book, The School of Greatness, or his forthcoming book, The Mask of Masculinity. But, you know, today we're going to talk about, you know, kind of how Lewis's journey got to this point, how he's built his ideal business. Now, we go back a few years, both of us being originally Ohio natives, and I actually reached out to Lewis, of all things, to learn a little bit more about how to utilize LinkedIn. So, yes. Man, that's a long journey. So, and welcome, Lewis.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you. Always good to talk to another Ohio guy.
So, let's back up. Let's talk about kind of how you got into the entrepreneurial world to begin with. Because, you know, I mean, originally your dream was to be an NFL football player.
Yeah, it was. And then I was playing. I had a couple NFL tryouts, didn't make it to the league after college, went to go play arena football to continue my hopes of, you know, maybe I'll start there and work my way up. After my rookie season, I got injured and had to have a surgery. I hurt my wrist and had to have surgery on the wrist. And then it was the next kind of year and a half, 2 years where I was didn't have any money, didn't have a college degree yet because I left early to go try to make the NFL. This was in 2008, 2009, when the economy was pretty bad and kind of just a lot of people were losing their jobs and it was hard to get jobs. And I was just kind of like on my sister's couch trying to figure out what I was going to do, like what I was going to do with my life. You know, my dream was crushed. My identity was kind of like shaking because I was just used to being this jock athlete guy. And now I didn't have any of that and I didn't have any money. So it was out of a necessity that I didn't want to go work a job somewhere because I had this taste of a lifestyle. Even though I was only making $250 a week, Pat, I had this taste of, wow, I can play around and get paid. And I realized, like, that's the way I want to live the rest of my life. But I had no clue how to make money. I wasn't entrepreneurial in any way. I never started a business or traded baseball cards. None of that stuff. I never did it. I was just focused on my craft. And it was after about a year and a half on my sister's couch. She was like, okay, Lewis, do you think it's time to get a job? Because I'm sick of paying for everything and, you know, having you just lay here all day. So I finally started applying for jobs, actually, on Craigslist. And there was a job that I applied for that was a sports marketing job in Columbus, Ohio. And I was like, this could be maybe a job that I would get and take if I was going to work a job. And so I applied for it. I got an interview. And for some reason, I was getting ready to go to this interview. And for some reason, I couldn't leave my sister's house to, like, head to the interview. I just didn't even go. I didn't show up. I didn't even tell them I wasn't coming. I just couldn't go because I thought to myself, my ego was so big then. I was like, I believe I'm going to get this job no matter what, and they're just going to love me. And then I'm going to be trapped doing something that I really don't want to do for the next few years. So that's when I was like, okay, I need to figure something out. I was using LinkedIn, like you'd mentioned, for a while, just kind of building relationships and connecting with successful people and asking them questions about how they got there. And I was like, maybe I could do something on LinkedIn, which was kind of my first entrepreneurial journey of doing one-on-one training, teaching people how to use their LinkedIn profiles. Then I was hosting LinkedIn events as my audience grew on LinkedIn. Then I wrote a book teaching people about it. Then I did a course and I just kind of like went wide and deep into just one topic and kind of became known as that guy. And that's how it all started.
Wow. So I know after actually purchasing your LinkedIn product, reaching out to you, getting a little bit of help, you know, a couple years later, I had invited you in to speak at one of our smaller events here in Louisville, and you came in and shared some real insight on utilizing social media to build a brand. So, I mean, you took that and parlayed it into something bigger, but yet, you know, that was even still before the podcast. So how did you kind of evolve into that?
The podcast became like, what, 4 years later than that. I started it after – so LinkedIn happened, and then people were asking for other social media tips and advice. So we created more programs and courses around Facebook and YouTube and all these things, which just was the natural progression. But it wasn't really – after like 2 or 3 years, I was kind of like, this isn't really fulfilling. This is like nice because it's making me money and I'm getting my name out there. But it wasn't – really didn't enjoy talking about it all the time. It didn't light me up in the morning. And it kind of started to become like a drag. Like the more I talked about LinkedIn, I was just like, I'm sick of this platform. And I didn't want to associate myself with a platform. I wanted to associate myself with an idea or ideas. And – that's when I had sold my company to my business partner. So for about 6 to 8 months, I was kind of in transition, trying to figure out, you know, what do I really want to do? What would light me up every day if I did it every single day? I just started asking those questions. And I realized I wanted to interview people about their journey and figure out the sweetness in those interviews that could help myself grow and other people listening grow. And that's how the podcast started. I remember I was driving around in Los Angeles as I just moved from New York to LA. I was going through a rough breakup with a girlfriend that I was with and kind of just unhappy at this point because the relationship wasn't working. I just moved to LA. I wasn't sure about the city. And I was kind of just frustrated because I didn't know what this direction was. And I thought, you know, I want to interview people. I want to do a podcast. But I don't have no clue. This was in 2012 before podcasting was cool. And so I was like, I have no clue if podcasting is, you know, what's even happening in the podcasting space. So I called a couple of buddies of mine, Pat Flynn, I called Derek Halpern, and asked them about it. I said, tell me about your podcast. Like, is it worth it? Should I do it? I don't know. And they were like, it's the most fulfilling, rewarding thing. And the most qualified leads that we get are coming from our show. I said, really? Huh. It's like, well, maybe there's something here. And I realized like smartphones were starting to get bigger and bigger in 2012. And I just had a feeling like the technology was going to come around where people were going to listen more. So I launched it just with my iPhone, just started recording interviews that weren't perfect. And I had no clue what I was doing and didn't sound professional, any of those things. Launched it, just really focused on trying to make it better every single week. And it kind of just took off. I don't know if it was the people I was interviewing, the topics, kind of a combination of all of it. It started to take off. And then when podcasting got bigger, it took off even more.
So, I mean, man, you've been able to really just kind of parlay an idea into now. I mean, yeah, the podcast is a fabulous platform, but now you've got, you know, a thriving mastermind group. You had your second annual big live event in Columbus. Yep. I mean, you've turned this into a best-selling book and now another book that you have coming in. And the thing that I love about all this is really, man, it's just a reflection of you, what you're passionate about, kind of the authentic you. And in fact, the most recent book kind of really strikes a chord with that whole idea. I mean, that this is stuff that, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily what gets talked about a lot. So, I mean, do you mind talking a little bit about kind of how you've gotten to this point where, you know, you're not just interviewing, you know, other influencers, leaders, authorities, but now you're writing this book, The Mask of Masculinity.
Yeah, you know, the podcast started with this idea of like, I'm going to try this once a week for a year and see what happens. Because it was something that I wanted to do and I was excited about. And as I started to grow this audience and this, you know, this content, it started to get more and more. I started to see that there were certain patterns through all the people I was interviewing. And my audience just kept asking me, like, can you create a program around this? Can you create more for us? Like, how can we meet up with other people who are listening? How can we get access to these information? Like, the interviews are great, but can you break it down in other ways for us? So it started with a course, an online 10-week program called School of Greatness Academy. Then I created a book, and then I created a live event, and it kind of just kept going. And I realized, like, all I'm doing is listening to my audience, what their challenges are, what their pain is. And then I started interviewing people who were the top experts in the world that could serve that pain. And one of the common themes that kept coming up was, for myself, was this sense of living in my ego. You know, at the beginning of the podcast, I felt like I wasn't fully being my authentic self. I was kind of projecting this perfect image and trying to act like I had it all figured out. And what I realized is that was hurting me and it was hurting my audience. And when I started shifting from needing to be right and win at all costs and looking to create a win-win in every experience, I started to realize this transformation in myself. And the content was resonating so profoundly with my audience. They were sending me the most meaningful messages. When I started to open up and talk about trauma, past pains, insecurities, fears, and the things that normally you wouldn't see like a successful or jock-looking white man talk about. And I realized, wow, there's something here. And especially now with everything happening in our world and the political climate with the crazy racial things that are happening in the country with the unreal shooting in Vegas recently with just all this stuff that's happening, the bombings in Europe. It's just like all these things are stemming from pain, insecurities, suffering, and typically with a lot of men. Because what I realize is we don't have a place in general to express ourselves and to talk about the things we're afraid of or insecure about. And if this builds up over enough time, we wear these different masks to either fit in or to push away other people in our lives. And it develops a lot of fear, which either boils up for different things for some men, which could be anger or passive aggressiveness or stoicism or whatever it may be. Or some people just getting out a bunch of guns and just unleashing because they're just hurt at the world. And I think it's hurting us in not just our personal lives and our business and relationships. It's hurting the environment as well. And so that's the thing that I just felt like, you know, the podcast started as a way for me to kind of express myself and interview people. Then I realized, like, wow, I can build a business and a massive audience and create meaningful programs and coaching and content around this. But I'm just constantly listening to my audience and looking at which pieces of information are resonating the most and how can I build, you know, programs, products, and offerings that serve people at the deepest, heartfelt level. And that's kind of just what I've been doing.
So, you know, I mean, obviously, with this being the ideal business show, you know, my mission is to help entrepreneurs build a business that allows them to have the impact they want, allows them to enjoy, you know, a fulfilling lifestyle, and then, you know, also to earn an income that runs in parallel with the value they're delivering. I mean, it feels like very much having, you know, been able to not only get to know you over time, but witness this ascension and then, you know, get to spend a little bit of time with you last week out at your offices. I mean, that's kind of like precisely what you've done. I mean, it just feels like you're having a lot of fun, but you're making a big difference.
Yeah. And I think when we have fun, that's when we can make a bigger difference. When we live in a life of seriousness all the time, we're attracting serious energy as well. When we bring the joy, as Brenda Burchard would say, other people start to wake up and start to have fun and be more playful and reveal themselves more. And I think when we live from the authentic mindset of, I don't think any of us were born to be like serious and guarded and defensive and angry. I think we were born to play and have fun and do what we felt right to us as kids. And with the ideal business, it's only ideal if it feels 100% authentic to you. If you're trying to put on a mask to project what you think people want or to try to fit in and look good or because it looks good on your resume or whatever it is, it's probably not going to sustain. But when we continue to say, you know what, I'm going to evolve as a human being, and my business may evolve, shift, and change as well, and that's okay. It's called innovation. And when we continue to be authentic to who we are, we can build a business that is meaningful to us. Because if it doesn't serve us and we're not having fun with it, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. Yes, that's nice, and yes, it helps pay the bills and responsibilities, but it's like, why deal with any suffering or lack of joy when you can build an ideal business that brings you joy as well, that brings you money and impact and community and all these other things? So for me, it's just like I continue to, and it's not like every day I do 100% of my tasks that are like fun and joyful all the time. There's stuff I do that I wish I didn't have to do, but I think that's part of business. But as long as my overall vision and mission is geared towards the ideal lifestyle, the ideal business, and the ideal impact I want to make, then that's when my business is going to thrive.
Man, that's very well said, my friend. So one of the things that I always want to do with a guest that, you know, has so much value to share is just ask, you know, do you have any tips, insights, you know, two or three suggestions for somebody who might be, you know, on that entrepreneurial journey? They're already in business, but they want something more. They want something better. They look at somebody like yourself and they say, wait a minute, I want my business to be a reflection of me like Lewis's is of him, or I want to enjoy having such a profound impact like he does. Do you have any insight you might be able to share there?
I mean, the first thing is getting clear on your vision of the impact you want to make. And I start with vision with everything, because otherwise, if we start with, well, I want to make this much money, or I want to be a New York Times bestseller, I want to do this, then it's more for selfish reasons as opposed to, here's my vision of how many people I want to impact and why I want to impact these people. And that gets you clear on the reason why you get up every single day. And it may seem simple or not really that good of a tip, but if you're not clear on your vision, then you're just hustling to hustle and you're working hard for what reason? So really get clear. And my vision is to impact 100 million people, to show them how to make a full-time income doing what they love. Because I believe when people are doing their ideal business or working up their ideal career with their ideal team, and they're making a living doing what they love, they're going to treat themselves better. They're going to move their body more and eat better because they're not going to feel depressed at the end of the day and eat crap. They're going to be nicer to people, kinder. They're going to feel more fulfilled. So that's why, and I just chose 100 million people because I feel like it's audacious enough and big enough to go after that excites me. But it's also specific enough as opposed to a lot of people I hear just say, well, I want to impact everyone and I want to reach the world. But I feel like it's not really, it's too big to actually like break down and into smaller goals. And 100 million just seemed like, you know, that's a lot of people. But with technology and how content goes viral, I was like, I think I could get there. And so it excites me to break it down into, okay, then what are the things that people need the most to help them make money? What are the things they need the most to learn how to figure out what their dreams are? How can we marry those together? It encompasses all the other aspects of life in terms of health and wellness, relationships, spirituality, but it all comes into living a better life. And that's what we do. We make decisions based on the bigger vision. And then, you know, another tip is, again, very simple. I'm sure you say this all the time on your show. I am not one of the smartest people. Whenever I go to a mastermind or some group or event, I'm not one of the most educated people, one of the smartest people. If we took any test, I'd probably be in the bottom of the scores for all the tests that we take. But what I do well is consistency and consistently creating quality content and then saying, how can I make it of higher quality week after week? I ask my team, how can we make it better? How can we improve this? Week after week, how can we make it a little bit better than last week? And, you know, the first year in my podcast, it'll be 5 years in January, so a few months. In the first year, I did one episode a week. And then I was consistently posting the same time every Monday, every week. And then I would promote the rest of the week. The second year, I did twice a week. post at the same time, and then I'd promote the rest of the time. Third year, I did 3 times a week, and I'm still doing 3 times a week. And it's just about being consistent. And then with your consistency, creating systems around the consistency so that you don't have to do the manual work constantly. You can start to leverage the tools and the software that are available for us. And then after that, the only way to grow efficiently without killing yourself is support, having the team around you. And I'm sure you teach this a lot about, you know, how having the right people on your team will free up your time to focus on the bigger ideas, bigger strategy, bigger creative thinking, the sales, things like that, that help drive the business. But if you're trying to do it all yourself, and I get it, when you start, you kind of have to do it all yourself. But as you grow, start creating processes around these things, and then just keep it really simple. Make decisions based off your vision, not based off of, oh, I saw this at an event and it was some cool new hack, and let me go down a rabbit hole for 4 to 5 months and try to do this, like, I don't know, Facebook bot chat thing or whatever it is, and try to build something here. Like, you're just going to constantly get off track if you're not committed to your vision. So focus on the vision. Focus on the things that are meaningful to you. Focus on building out systems, a team, and most importantly, be consistent with high quality content. If you're consistently putting out crap, you will attract crap. If you put out quality, people will start to take notice if you promote it effectively. And it comes down to simple things like that.
Well, that's fabulous advice. And, you know, yeah, there are topics that, yeah, I may say on the show regularly that you or I might both hear very regularly from other people, but yeah, they're common sense, but not necessarily common practice, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think people are getting their head too much. I think people they're analyzing so much that they aren't executing consistently. And when we have a format of, okay, every week I'm going to do these 5 actions, and we schedule it out, and we have support around us in launching it or posting it or whatever it may be, then we don't have to analyze as much. We just give ourselves our own deadlines and say, it's going out these times, or I'm doing these 10 phone calls to get clients from 9 to 10 a.m. or whatever it is. It's scheduling it in and then just doing it, like executing and being consistent. And it's, you know, I feel like I have a simple mind, and I'm glad sometimes because I don't overanalyze a lot of stuff like smart people do. They'll overanalyze everything, and then they overanalyze if someone's going to judge them or if they fail and who's going to say something about it if it looks a certain way or it doesn't look this way. And I'm just like, let's just do this and see what happens and grow from there. So I think allow yourself to fail. Allow yourself to be judged, because it's going to happen whether you do something or not. If when I was sleeping on my sister's couch for 1.5 years, I was judged and I was failing because I wasn't doing anything. When I started doing something, I was judged and I was making, you know, I was failing constantly because I was trying something I've never done before. And it's just the process to growing anything is just making those mistakes, learning from it, trying to get better each week and following through the process.
Awesome. Well, man, I appreciate you spending some time with me today and sharing all this. So, you know, I want to make sure that both people know where to find you if they're not already listening to the podcast regularly, where they find that, but then also where they're going to be able to find the new book, since that's going to launch here just later this month. So do you mind sharing that?
Yeah, podcast is just School of Greatness on anywhere podcasts are downloaded, and you can check it all out at lewishouse.com. And the book, The Mask of Masculinity, is anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, I've had the good fortune to check out the book already through an advanced copy, and it's awesome. And I would recommend it to, you know, anybody who wants to be better. And I know it's written for men, but it's certainly serve as a wonderful gift for the man in somebody's life. And yeah, I mean, it's just great information that needs to be told. So Lewis, man, I appreciate you spending some time here today with me. And as always, everybody listening in, I appreciate you being part of one more episode of the Ideal Business Show. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening. we've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut-and-paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.